because it has been another week of grim news, hasn't it? And some of that news is touching you all, your family, this community. The daily average deaths from COVID in the United States this past week was over 1,200. 1,200 families devastated every day. Every day. And the most heartbreaking part is that so many of them, perhaps even 95%, would be preventable with vaccines. Much of the western part of the United States is covered by a pall of smoke that makes it seriously unhealthy to go outside. And the earthquake victims in Haiti are still struggling just to survive. But all of these things barely make it into the news because we simply can't tear our eyes away from the rolling tragedy in Afghanistan. The race to get U.S. citizens out. The desperate struggles to extract those who worked with U.S. troops and other American projects in Afghanistan. The fears of and for women and girls. And then on Thursday, hundreds of casualties, including 13 U.S. soldiers dead. The news has been painfully grim for so long, sometimes I really can't take it anymore, and I have to take a break. I have to look, turn off my computer, turn it off, shut it off, look away. Other times I continue to watch or read, but I've realized that I can't really feel anything. I'm numb. My sense is that I'm probably not alone in that. But on Thursday, when I heard the news of those U.S. servicemen that were killed, I thought of their families receiving that news. Their wives, their mothers, their fathers, their siblings, their children. And I went and took a little book down off my shelf. A book called Psalms of Lament. It's written by Anne Weems, a woman of faith and a poet. Several decades ago, one terrible day, the stars fell from her sky. Her son, Todd, was shot and killed on his 21st birthday. And she fell into an unimaginable hole of grief and despair. But eventually she began to write out her cries of pain as prayers to God. Listen to one of them. Lament Psalm 16. O God, will this night never end? Give me sleep, O God. Give me rest. Erase from my memory the moments of his death. Blot out the terror and the ever-present fear and let me sleep. I lie upon this bed tortured by thoughts that come unbidden. The night is full of demons. They stand on my heart until I cannot breathe. There's nothing in my world this night except his death. O God, bring the morning light. O God, be merciful. Bring the dawn. Come into this night and tear it into day. O my God, you are hope. You take the bonds of death and break them into pieces of life. The demons of the night cower and hide from their brilliance of your presence. You alone can banish the night and create the sweet stream of morning's light. There's none who can stop you, for you are the God of light and the light of my soul. Amen. If the style of this prayer poem seems familiar to you, it's because it is. It's an echo of a style of prayers from thousands of years ago, the biblical prayer of lament, like Jeremiah's. When Jeremiah said, "My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick, because my people are crushed, I'm crushed. Darkness and despair overwhelm me. If only my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for the wounds of my people." Jeremiah looked at his nation, Judah, his city, Jerusalem, and his people. And what he saw was disaster upon disaster. He saw leadership poisoned by corruption. He saw people sick and hungry from a famine. And he saw that the threat of invasion by a powerful enemy was growing day by day. That army was getting closer to Jerusalem. Jeremiah was heartsick, and he cried out to God, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" Well, that was a rhetorical question, because of course there was. The region of Gilead, east of the Jordan River, was famous for a medicinal resin that was present in trees that grew in that area. And that resin produced a sweet-smelling ointment that eased pain and had healing properties. There was still balm in Gilead, but there was no healing for Jeremiah's people, the people of Judah, because they wouldn't mend their ways. They persisted in corruption and dangerous foreign alliances. God had shown them the way out of their mess, but they refused to take it. And so Jeremiah wept and cried out to God. We too are suffering. And God has shown us remedies for so many of our crises, but we just don't seem to have the collective will to take them. Changing our ways seems too costly. But for today, let's set aside possible solutions and focus just on the burden of our pain and loss. Our pain and loss in this year and a half of global pandemic. The pain and loss of this summer of climate chaos. The pain and loss of just the past few weeks of military disaster. There is a healing balm. There is a healing balm that we've all but forgotten. There is a precious ointment for pain and grief, and it's hidden in plain sight. It's overlooked, forgotten. It's kind of like an old jar that's gotten pushed to the back of the shelf, but it turns out to contain precious medicine. And it's right here in our Bible. That healing balm, that precious treasure, is the tradition of lament. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? Psalm 13. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Psalm 22. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me. All day long foes oppress me. Psalm 56. I call upon you, Lord, come quickly. Keep me from the trap the wicked have laid for me. Psalm 141. Nearly half of the 150 Psalms in our Bible are songs of lament, poems of complaint to God. But those aren't the ones we sing in worship. They aren't the ones that we memorized in Sunday school, at least not the ones I memorized in Sunday school. But for thousands of years, God's faithful people marched to the throne of God and cried out their pain. But somehow in recent decades, we've mostly forgotten how. We've mostly worked hard to be polite in church. We turn for salvation to self-help books. But there's really no salvation there. What we need for our healing is far beyond self. We need a balm that comes from God. A balm we only receive when we honestly and openly bring our pain to God. I've said for months now that even when COVID infection levels subside, we won't really get past this pandemic until we grieve all that we have lost. We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and when we think back to that horrible event, we lost over 3,000 Americans, just over 3,000 American lives. And if you think back to that time, you'll remember that collectively, publicly, we grieved. We memorialized. We prayed. We mourned those lives. But now, in just over the last year and a half, we've lost 600,000 lives to COVID just in the U.S. And as I said, that number is climbing daily. And we still haven't found a way to grieve together. And the problem is that pain that is unresolved festers. It leads to despair. It leads to apathy, or it leads to rage. Have you ever heard the saying, hurt people hurt people? Have you wondered why there's been such an intractable increase in violence in the disadvantaged neighborhoods of Chicago and most of the other large cities in the United States this summer? Think about it. Hurt people. Hurt people. I have a friend, Sherry, who teaches eighth graders in the Pilsen neighborhood in Chicago. And last winter, she would put up on social media talking about the deaths that the children in her class were suffering. And it seemed like weekly she would say something like, a student of mine lost an aunt and uncle to COVID. A student of mine was absent. Her mom died of COVID. Her dad is sick with COVID. She has to take care of her siblings. Or a student's grandparents both died on the same day, and it was over and over and over. Inconceivable heartbreak. And remember, back then, in last winter, traditional funerals were not possible. Families couldn't even gather to grieve together. This is what was happening then in neighborhoods that already struggled with violence, and now do so even more. Hurt people, hurt people. The Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann said, "The life of the world is saturated with pain and ache that is not yet finished, not yet answered, not yet resolved. And we are left with a demanding question, what shall we do with so much hurt that is left unfinished?" What do we do with so much unresolved hurt? Distract ourselves with work and busyness? Anesthetize the pain with drugs, alcohol, or mindless entertainment? Deny it? Put on a pretty face and pretend that all is well when it's not? When it's most definitely not all right with the world? Those are a lot of the things that we've been trying, aren't they? But our faith teaches us to take our unresolved hurt to God, to cry out to God, to lament our pain, because in honest prayer before God, there is healing balm for our souls. In honest prayer before God, there's healing balm for our souls. Jeremiah did it. "If only my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for the wounds of my poor people." The psalmist did it. "How long, O Lord, how long will you forget me forever?" And Jesus did it. My God, why have you forsaken me?" I wonder if we dare try. If we dare to try to pray honestly to God about the hurt, about the grief, about the pain. In the midst of all that's gone so horribly wrong in our lives and in the world, do we have the courage to be honest with God, to lament? I'm going to invite you to try it right now. And I'm going to make it safe, okay? We'll pray a lament together, and you'll have just one line. And that line is, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Let's try that together. "How long, O Lord, how long?" Now, I invite you right now to open your hands on your lap and to close your eyes and to take in and let out a deep breath. And to let go of distractions and be present in your body. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel where your seat hits the pew. And breathe in and out. And now, in your imagination, place in your hands something that causes you to be heartsick. Could be something in your own life. Could be something in the life of someone dear to you. Or it could be something that's going on in the world. And in the silence, name it clearly, name it specifically before God. Something that causes you to be heartsick. Now, the words that I'm going to read are in first person. So in your mind, you'll be praying in the first person. And that could be on your own behalf, or you might be voicing the personal prayer of another if the situation in your hands is not yours, but someone else's. And when I say, "To you I cry," that's your prompt to say, "How long, O Lord, how long?" Let's try that. "To you I cry, how long, O Lord, how long? O my God, will you forget me forever? Will you always hide your face from me? To you I cry, how long, O Lord, how long? How long must I bear this pain in body and soul? How long will I grieve night and day? To you I cry, how long, O Lord, how long? Answer me, God, for you are my only hope. Bring me into the light, lest I sleep in death. To you I cry, how long, O Lord, how long? Without your steadfast love, I would die. My heart keeps hoping for your saving grace. To you I cry, how long, O Lord, how long? Even now, I will sing to you in my heart and place all my hope in your rescue. To you I cry, how long, O Lord, how long? Amen. There is a balm in Gilead, sisters and brothers. There is a physician there. The physician is God, who came to us in Jesus and taught us to lament. Jesus has his arms around the weeping ones. Jesus, who stands with us through all time weeping. Jesus, who said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Jesus, who is strong to save, to transform, to heal. Blessed are those who lament, for they shall find healing. Amen.